Chapter 2. It's a 2-hour hike into the middle of the wilderness, long past the point of niceties like trails, to get to where the attack took place. Fortunately, Stiles is becoming accustomed to this level of physical exertion. He still has fond memories of when he'd been a pale, skinny dork, and when Scott couldn't climb a flight of stairs without needing his inhaler. Those times are long past. It's in the 30s, but sunny, so they start out bundled up, but gradually start to get warm from the exercise and unbutton their coats. Derek would rather be in wolf form, and is grumbling about this, but Stiles won't let him shift because nobody wants to carry his winter gear. Yasmin has taken another dose of painkillers, and she does all right, although she's starting to flag near the end of the trek. First things first, Stiles stands just before the destruction starts and closes his eyes, and just breathes. It's not his territory, so his senses aren't as keen as they could be, but he can still feel the muffled discomfort of Yasmin standing next to him, another alpha that's a potential threat. But he doesn't feel anything else. If there's a monster nearby, it isn't a wolf. "Okay," he finally says. It's quiet. Too quiet. He resists the urge to remark ominously. But it is. He can't hear any birds, although he supposes he has no idea what sort of wildlife one would expect during an Oregon winter. "Smells?" "Bitter," Scott says immediately, his nose wrinkling. "It's acrid." Derek supplies the word he's looking for. He gives Stiles a quick shake of his head. "And totally unfamiliar. I've never spelled anything like that before." Stiles gives a little nod. Then he paces around the perimeter of the crime scene, as he's starting to think of it. It's big, about 50 feet in diameter. Entire branches have been broken off trees, as high as 20 feet in the air. There are crushed bushes and gouges in the snow and dirt. He sees splotches of blood, now old enough to be a rusty red-brown, in the snow and on the leaves. One patch is particularly large. He gives Yasmin a questioning look to see if she can identify it by smell. "May," she chokes out, holding a hand over her nose. Erica reaches out and squeezes Yasmin's hand. None of them say anything else about it. It's a lot of blood. But not so much that they can say for sure if May is dead, especially not knowing if and or how much she had been able to heal. Another bush has several clumps of dirty blonde fur in it. One of the twins, even Yasmin isn't sure which one. From the dent in the ground next to it, the encounter didn't end well for whichever one it was. There are also several patches of a black, oily substance. Stiles kneels down next to it, reaches out, but then changes his mind. "Someone come check this out for me. And I expect a gold star for not, you know, sticking my finger in it and then licking it." "God, you're such a toddler," Derek says, crouching down next to him. He smells it and makes a face. "Definitely where that bitter smell is coming from. Blood or venom, I guess." He picks up a handful of the snow it's lying in, which will dilute it somewhat, and rubs it between his fingers. Nothing happens. "Well, it doesn't work by touch, whatever it is, and I'm not tasting it." "Jeez, Derek," Stiles says, rolling his eyes dramatically. "It's not like I was going to ask you to..." "It's the very next thing you were going to ask me, and don't even try to convince anyone otherwise," Derek retorts. Stiles sticks his hands in his pockets and whistles innocently. The others shake their heads at him. Allison takes some pictures and then bottles up some of the substance for further analysis. "What now?" Stiles chews on his lower lip for a minute. "Let's split into pairs," he finally says. They don't have enough to cover the four cardinal directions, but they can cover more ground in pairs than they can in one group. "I'll go with Yasmin. Derek, go with Erica. If you're okay with that?" he modifies, and Derek gives a grudging nod. He knows that Yasmin won't let anything happen to Styles. With her mate on the line, she'll be more vicious than any of them. Scott with Allison. Damn, I don't suppose... He takes out his phone, then shakes his head. No signal. We'll be on our own. Howl if you need anything. There's a round of nods, though Derek looks a little sour. And then they each indicate a direction. Something bothers me, Allison says suddenly. This thing was obviously big, but it doesn't seem to have left any trail coming or going. It's like it appeared and then disappeared here. One of many mysteries we have yet to solve, Styles says with a nod. Be on the lookout for anything out of the ordinary. Unless it looks urgent, just make a note. Take a picture, note the GPS coordinates. He checks his watch. We'll meet back here in 2 hours. Then we'll go find some food. Everyone agrees. Styles tucks his phone away, and he and Yasmin start walking. The sun is higher now, and he unbuttons his coat. Thanks, Yasmin says. Styles glances at her, and she says, I just realized I didn't say that yesterday. Styles shakes his head a little and says, Justin was way nicer to me than I deserved during my trial, helping me figure things out with Derek and everything. This is my chance to pay that back. But I would have anyway. See, that's the thing with this whole alliance thing. Sometimes you just have to be good, because it encourages others to do the same. I'll happily risk my life to help you and Justin if it means that months from now, someone else will do that for me. It has to start somewhere, you know? Yasmin nods. They walk in silence for several minutes. Of course, Styles isn't very good at silence. How did you become Alpha anyway? He asks curiously. I mean, I know that all of you are pretty hardcore, but I guess I have a hard time picturing you and May that way, he adds. Yasmin glances at him, and he realizes that this question could be considered, at the least, insensitive. Oh shit, I'm sorry. It's probably really rude of me to ask. It's not like I'd want to talk about it if someone asked me. At this, Yasmin gives a little laugh. Yeah, she says. Maybe a little. Though, you'd be surprised. May and Ravender both inherited their positions through their families. I thought May wasn't a born wolf. She's not. She's from a turned family. Yasmin sees Styles blinking at her and says, Two turned wolves who have kids together only have about a 25% chance of passing the lycanthropy down onto their offspring. So a turned wolf family is when people turn their children when they're too young to know differently. Hang on, I gotta write this shit down, Styles says, fumbling for his phone. Yasmin just gives him another amused look. Justin had told me that May was turned so young she didn't know the difference, but they still inherit the alpha through the familial line? Under normal circumstances, no, Yasmin says. May's was willed to her by her mother, who didn't want the wolf who killed her to become the alpha of the family. She gives a little shrug. Like Trevor's alpha passed it down to him willingly. Styles nods. Okay, I got it, he says. There's actually a big lycanthropy culture in China, Yasmin says. May was too young to assume control of her actual family. She was only 13, and they considered it a huge honor that she was chosen for the Alpha Pack. Holy shit! You mean May's been in the Alpha Pack since she was 13? Styles asks, and Yasmin nods. Wow, that's kind of fucked up. Yasmin smiles, showing teeth. She's been in longer than anyone except Ravender, and he's only been in the pack a few years longer than her. But he was much older, of course. He did get his alpha status through the family line. There are huge pack and clan wars in India. As far as I know, Ravender was happy enough to say goodbye to all of that. Her fists clench at her sides. God, I hope they're okay, she chokes out. Styles wants to distract her without pushing for too much personal detail. He knows the story of how Justin became Alpha, so he says, How about the twins? Funny story, actually, Yasmin says. Damn near got them killed. Ethan became an alpha first. They had their own pack. Aiden was his Lupa. When another pack came and challenged them for their territory, Ethan kicked the shit out of their alpha and then held him down so Aiden could kill him and be an alpha too. Wow, Styles says. How did that nearly kill them? Well, the pack went back to evaluate Aiden, and they had only just evaluated Ethan a year or so prior. This was before my time. Apparently, they had a really hard time convincing Trevor that they hadn't gone looking for an alpha for Aiden to kill. Sometimes I think Ravender still disapproves of them. Kelly loved it, of course. She gives a little shrug. They were her little protégés. It's a good thing she kicked the bucket when she did. Justin slapped them into shape. They aren't my favorite people in the world, but hell, after Kelly, they're a cakewalk. Why did they join the Alpha Pack? Because they wanted to, Yasmin says. She sees Styles' startled look and says, yep, they preferred the power and status over having their own pack. Styles nods. What about you, then? You don't have to tell me if you don't want to. Not much to tell about the early years, Yasmin says. I grew up on the streets of Argentina. I was a pretty mean pickpocket by the time I was 8. When I was 19, I got the bite, and everything changed. So, how do you become Alpha? Styles asks. It was self-defense, she says, and he wasn't my Alpha. Styles recognizes that this is all he's going to hear about Yasmin's story, at least today. He changes the subject to avoid an awkward silence. I don't think I could do what the twins did. Traveling around all the time sounds really awesome, but there's no way I could give up my pack. Yeah, Yasmin says, and then stops walking. Ravender. What about him? Styles asks. I can smell him. Fresh. Today. She tilts her head back and howls, a pure wolf sound that couldn't possibly have come from a woman's throat. Then she takes off running. Damn it, Yaz! Styles hastens after her, stumbling over the rough terrain. He hears an answering howl from somewhere up ahead of them. Under normal circumstances, he doesn't think he could keep up with Yasmin, but her injuries and fatigue slow her down. He catches up with her just as he starts smelling smoke. Chimney smoke, he thinks. Although, it's not like he's a connoisseur. A little cabin comes into view, smoke curling up from the back. It's surrounded by a post fence, which Yasmin jumps over without pause. Ravender is coming out the front door of the house and throws his arms around Yasmin as she enters the yard. I am so glad to see you, he says, burying his face in the crook of her neck. Yasmin just manages a sob of agreement. Then Ravender pulls away. His gaze lands on Styles, and he tilts his head to one side, regarding him curiously. I feel as though I should be surprised to see you, he says thoughtfully. And yet, somehow, I am not. Namaste to you too, Styles says, amused. Ravender gives his customary half-bow. What are you doing here? Yasmin told me the rest of you guys were missing, Styles says, taking a closer look at the older man. He doesn't look much better than Yasmin, now that Styles is thinking about it. There's a deep scratch on one of his cheeks, and the eye on the same side is blackened and bruised. He's moving gingerly, and can't hide the wince when Yasmin gives him a squeeze before letting go entirely. The way he's standing is off, too. Like, he's not resting much weight on one leg. So it isn't just Yasmin who isn't healing. She came to get some help. I see, Ravender says. Then his eyes go somewhat wide. Your pack, the medic, is he with you? They'll be coming along any minute, Styles says. We split into pairs, but I... Before he can finish his sentence, Ravender has him by the wrist and is towing him into the house. It's a completely uncharacteristic move for the quiet, passive wolf. Styles trips over the door jamb and nearly falls. The inside of the house is neat, but a little dusty. It hasn't been lived in for a while. He's wondering exactly what's going on when Ravender drags him into a bedroom. May is lying there, clearly unconscious, sweat beading on her forehead, skin several shades paler than usual. There's some fabric pressed against her stomach, stained with blood and more of that black, oily substance. "Jesus!" Stiles says, approaching her. She gives a weak moan as he lifts up the makeshift bandages to see several ugly puncture wounds beneath them. Ravender spreads his hands helplessly. "I have been a wolf since the day I was born. All my family, the same. This kind of medicine, of healing, I know nothing of it. I have done the best I can, but I don't think it has been enough." Stiles lets out a breath. "They look poisoned. The venom from that creature," Ravender says. "It had a stinger. She suffered several wounds before I managed to break it away from her. Then I took her and ran. I only thought to get her somewhere safe. By the time I got back to the battlefield, everyone else was gone." "Details later," Stiles says. He can hear and sense the others approaching. "Whose house is this?"
"I've no idea. I found it while looking for shelter and broke in. I thought to find a place for May to rest, and figured I would explain the circumstances as best I could when the owners returned. But thus far, they have not."
"Must be a summer vacation home," Stiles says. "Lucky break, that." He glances over his shoulder. "Scott and the others are coming." He goes back out to the front, so his pack will be able to see that he's whole and unharmed. They insist on a very surreptitious marking and checking him over anyway. He allows this with good grace, then gestures to Scott. "May is hurt pretty bad," he says. "Ravender doesn't look too great either, but I doubt he'll be interested in bandages until after you've seen May." Scott nods and follows him into the house. He makes a surprised noise when he sees how bad May looks and takes his first aid kit out of his backpack. Ravender paces anxiously while he looks her over. "Well," he says a minute later, "the good news is that the wounds are pretty superficial. None of them went deep enough to get through the abdominal wall, so her major organs are fine."
"And the bad news?" Stiles prompts.
"Aside from the venom, which there isn't much I can do about until we figure out what this creature was, they're infected." Scott gestures to the red streaks around the wounds, the puffiness of them. "She's got a high fever."
"Is she going to die?" Ravender asks quietly.
"Well, not if I can help it," Scott says. "But I can't treat her with what I have. She needs medicine, antibiotics, and painkillers. Stuff you can't just walk into any pharmacy and buy. Not even with a prescription." Stiles considers this, rubbing a hand over the back of his head.
"Bringing her to a hospital sounds problematic, when something may be after them. And if the magic wears off and she starts healing, it could lead to a lot of awkward questions. Can you swipe what we'll need?"
"It won't be easy, but yeah, I think I can do that," Scott says. "At least let me get some IV fluid started. That'll help." May flinches and then howls when he starts trying to get the IV in. Ravender is immediately by her side, kneeling beside the bed and smoothing down her hair, talking quietly to her in a language that Stiles doesn't know. She quiets a little, but they still need to hold her down while Scott gets the IV started.
"If you can get her to take these, that'll help," he says, shaking some painkillers out of his kit. "But don't force the issue. We don't want her to choke."
Ravender nods.
"Yes, all right."
Stiles checks his phone and is delighted to see that he has cell service. He wonders if there are other cabins around here, or if whoever owns the place is so rich that they paid to have a tower put in. He sees that he has an email from his father and pulls it up.
"Yes!"
"What is it?" several people ask.
"Hunch paid off," Stiles says. "I asked my dad if he could call around to the local hospitals and see if anyone matching the description of the AlphaPax descriptions had wound up in the emergency room and or morgue.
Relax, it's not the morgue," he says, seeing Yasmin and Ravender stiffen.
"It's one of the twins. Not sure which one. Wasn't carrying ID. but Hood River Memorial has a patient with a concussion and broken ribs there that was found bleeding on the side of the road. We need to go to the hospital anyway, so...
You want to break him out?
Scott asks skeptically.
That's easier said than done.
He should be able to check himself out AMA, right?
Stiles asks.
I'll go with you, Yasmin says immediately.
He won't go with you. I mean, he doesn't really know you, and he doesn't have any reason to trust you.
Stiles nods and turns to Scott.
Can you handle that?
You got it, Scott says. Erica, you want to come along and give me a hand?
You bet, stud, she says.
Allison? He asks.
I want Allison here, with me, Stiles says. This is officially our home base, until such time as the owners show up. Something I don't anticipate happening anytime soon. We're going to set up a perimeter and a watch, and I'll need her.
Allison nods briskly, then leans over to give Scott a generous kiss.
Be careful.
Of course.
He returns the kiss, then turns to Ravender.
Just try to keep her comfortable. We'll be back before you know it.
Ravender lets out a shuddery breath.
She is like a sister to me. I cannot.
Dude, Scott says, this is what I do. It's cool.
He turns and heads out the door.
Don't worry, Stiles says, absently thumbing at his phone. If he's not comfortable with you owing him a debt, you can pay it back to me.
Ravender lets out a snort.
Of course, he says. Stiles is already dialing.
Hey, he says, when Lydia picks up. We found Ravender and May. They're hurt, but okay. We've settled down at a home base. I'm texting you our GPS. I think you should be able to drive up to this cabin we found to squat in. What's your ETA?
We left first thing, Lydia says, so we should be there around dinner time. Want us to pick anything up?
Yeah, that'd be good. There isn't much here, Stiles says. How'd it go back at home?
Well, Danny's parents threw an absolute fit. It took both your dad, Ms. McCall, and Allison's dad to get them calmed down. He was completely right about what they would be upset about, i.e. that he was in danger and had been hurt, and they didn't really like his answer of, but now I'm a werewolf, so I'm a lot tougher and won't be hurt again. Boyd's parents were strangely accepting. I don't think it's sunk in yet. They decided to leave his sibs in the dark for now. Can't trust them to keep quiet about it. Mac and I went with the winter spa, so no problems there.
Have you talked to Erica's dad?
No, why?
Because we thought maybe he could help with Danny's parents, but he, didn't realize Erica had left town.
Lydia winces. She's obviously not pleased to be a talebearer.
So you may want to have a little chat with Erica about what exactly you mean by don't antagonize your father.
Son of a bitch, Stiles says.
He sighs. I should know better than to trust her with stuff like this.
Okay, I gotta go. Drive safe.
See you soon, she replies, and hangs up.
Stiles shakes his head a little.
Okay, he says.
Allison, Derek, you're with me.
Ravender, I know I can't give you orders, but I think you should stay inside and stay off that leg until Scott has had a chance to look at it, okay?
Ravender nods wearily.
Yes, he says. Believe it or not, I will be happy to do so.
Scott quickly ascertains that stealing things from Hood River Memorial Hospital is going to be a little more difficult than stealing them from Beacon Hills would be. It's a much smaller place. Although that will make finding things easier, it also ups the chances that they'll be noticed as not belonging. They take a quick run through the public parts of the hospital to see what color and brand of scrubs the aides are wearing. Then it's just a quick stop by the local Walmart to buy ones that match.
Starting at the hospital, hmm? The cashier chirps at them as he lays down the stack of clothes.
He nods and smiles at her. Then they head back to the hospital.
Yasmin does her part as well. She rushes up to the front desk and says, Is he here? My fiancé. I've been looking for him everywhere. And then I saw in the paper that someone had found a body by the side of the road. He'd gone out jogging, and I...
Calm down, sweetie. The older woman manning the desk says kindly. What's his name?
Aiden. It's Aiden Stockton. But he wasn't carrying his wallet. I don't know if his name would be on his chart.
Yasmin has worked herself up into a frenzy that's not entirely feigned.
Scott and Erica wait quietly behind her.
Oh, yes, the young man they found 2 days ago, the woman says, nodding. I'm so glad you're here. We hadn't been able to identify him. He's in the ICU still, she adds, and gives them directions. The three of them head down the hallway.
Immediate family only, they're told. But of course, Scott is prepared for this. Yasmin explains that she's his fiancé and shows off the Clara ring that she borrowed from Allison. It's several sizes too big for her petite hands, but fortunately, the nurse doesn't notice.
This is my sister. Can she come along too?
Yasmin asks, indicating Erica. And as Scott had hoped, this nice woman in a town full of extremely Caucasian people has no problem believing that if two Hispanic women are together, they must be related. Erica only looks vaguely Hispanic, but apparently it's enough. In fact, it goes over so easily that Scott somewhat regrets not having posed as a brother. As it is, he changes into his scrubs, waits until nobody's paying attention, and just slides through the door to the ICU while someone else is leaving. He catches up with the ladies just as they're getting to the room where one of the twins is lying. He's heavily sedated, and Scott flips through his chart.
He's been combative. That's why they've sedated him, he says. And we're just in time. Looks like they were waiting for a bed to free up in the psych ward. It would have been way harder to get him out of there.
He reaches over for the IV and dials it all the way down.
Probably because he wants to get the holy hell out of here, Erica says, shifting from foot to foot.
Man, I fucking hate hospitals. No offense, she adds to Scott.
None taken, he says. I'm not a huge fan of them myself.
The twin is already coming around as his body races to metabolize what of the sedative is through his system. Scott checks the dose they were giving him. It amuses him to see scrawled notes from the nurses and pharmacists and doctors about how, no, really, they're sure the dose is correct. That's what's required to fully sedate him. As he wakes, his face starts to change. Yasmin quickly digs in her bag and drops a shirt over his nose and mouth. That protects her hands from his teeth as she presses them over his mouth before he can make any noise.
Hey!
She says quietly.
Hey, it's me.
His eyes go wide for a minute, and then the tension floods out of his body. He makes a muffled noise, and she lifts the shirt away.
Aiden, he whispers, looking around wildly.
Scott makes a mental note that the twin they found is Ethan.
Where's Aiden?
We're not sure, Yasmin says, and sees the panic in his eyes. But we're going to find him, okay? We need to get you out of here.
After a moment, Ethan nods.
Feel all fuzzy, he mumbles.
Yeah, they've had you on a lot of drugs, Scott says, stepping up. Ethan blinks at him in confusion.
Don't ask, it's a long story. You're badly hurt, but not so much that I think you need to be in here. And we need to get back as soon as we can. So you're going to have to check yourself out of here. You've got a concussion, fractured ribs, and a broken ankle. Here's what they're going to say. Your condition should be carefully monitored. You're probably out of the woods, but head injuries are tricky, particularly given your earlier disorientation. Here's what you're going to say. You appreciate their concern, but you don't have health insurance or a job, and you can't afford to rack up a huge bill. You understand that you'll be checking yourself out against medical advice, and won't be able to hold them liable if you get worse or drop dead. Okay? Can you remember all that?
Ethan nods again. I have to get out of here, he says, desperation in his eyes. I have to find Aiden.
Okay. While you guys are doing that, Erica and I have to find some stuff. We'll meet you back out at the car. Yaz, you'll be okay?
Yasmin gives a quick nod. We'll handle it.
Okay, Scott says again. Erica, you're with me. I think the ER is our best bet. Everything would be too closely guarded at the actual pharmacy. So let's start there.